from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Imagine Danny and Dusty wearing kilts.
First things first, where's your at?
And it's windy.
I've got a turtle head poking out.
It's Open Championship Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080. The Fan.
Sorry.
Hour number three, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. We've got the Danny from Danny and Dusty joining us. He's been down in Vegas for Summer League. He is best friends with David Copperfield. And he was in the building as the Blazers picked up a Summer League victory last night over the Philadelphia 76ers, 97-95. Mr. Meringue, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm back in the land of the not cooked alive. So, hooray!
Oh, good, good, good. You've made it back safe and sound. Last night was a fun-ass game to watch. Very, very terrible shooting. But it is Vegas Summer League. Was it three or four possessions in a row, air balls? Did I count that correctly?
Yeah, there was some tough shooting, and I was sitting with one of the 76ers writers, Kyle Newbeck, and we were both kind of looking at each other in the second quarter like, oh my god, I'm gonna fall asleep, like this game has no life, it has no legs. And then the third quarter, Klingon kind of came to life, got called for an offensive foul and then another foul, and you could see he was getting irritated, and then he got a chance to get down the lane and threw down that dunk, and that was right in front of me. And he threw it down so hard, so aggressively. Like, it was insane to see somebody that big get up and dunk that hard. It was the whole gym came to life, and then you had Bona get a dunk on the other side. And really, from that point on, the game was really good.
Yeah, it was. It was a furious finish down the stretch. And look, I was talking about this earlier. Donovan Klingon, big man, throw ball through hoop. Great to see.
He was in the post game. He was pretty excited about that one. He was like, yeah, I wanted that one. And you can tell he wanted to get his leg back, because I want to say two possessions before that dunk, he just big boyed Bona, and Adam Bona's a big, strong kid, but he's just in a different weight class than Klingon. And Klingon just completely sealed him. And the ref called him for an offensive foul. I just kind of looked at me, and or I looked over at the other media folks. We all kind of like, how is that a foul? He's just, all he did was big boy him. There's nothing there. and he came down the floor and threw down that dunk. You could tell he was irritated.
Look, this was it was fun to see with Klingon coming out of the gate, because game one, it looked like speed, timing, a little bit too fast, looked like he was a little bit gassed in those first runs. He looked like he kind of settled in out of the gate. I mean, Blazers go on, they led by eight, and then he checks out after his first run, and Philly goes on a 12-1 run, and you go, presence. That's presence of a big, right?
Yeah.
There's still plenty of that we need to see. Cleaning up his low game, because we saw some bunnies that were missed offensively. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, closeouts, rotations, that's going to be it's going to be a work in progress. But one thing that I was sitting there going, okay, that basketball IQ that everybody had talked about during the draft process, what wasn't talked about enough is how he was an effective passer from the get-go and facilitating on the offensive end of the floor, really from the first possession.
Yeah, the Blazers made a little bit of a change from Kendrick Davis to Kennedy Chandler. Kendrick, unfortunately, in game one, thought it was Kendrick Davis time, and he had some blinders on, and it just made the offense kind of bogged down a ton. Chandler got out there and really kind of settled some things in. I think he ended the night with like 9 assists, and you can just tell things were running more functionally. I think you got a glimpse it because of how the offense was running. Klingon was facilitating from the middle of the floor. He finished with 5 assists. Probably had an opportunity for 8 or 9. There was a couple of looks that guys missed. He was pretty proud of his passing after the game. He was smiling about it. He said, "No, I got to show some great reads, made some good passes." I asked Justin Manaya about it, and he said that, you know, the very first time that he played with him, it was evident how good of a passer he is. And it's like, he's not an okay passer. He's a plus passer. He genuinely is. And he threw a couple guys open, and you're like, okay, there's a little something there. And I think that's an interesting thing, because I don't think he's going to shoot it this year. And I just don't think it's going to be there. And he may have some nights when he does knock down some shots. But I think in general, teams are going to look at it, treat him as a non-shooter. But the thing about it is, when you're a good passer and you're 7'3" and you can see over the entire defense, defenses can't sit off you and just let you pick them apart.
Yeah.
So they do have to step out. So if they do have him in the middle of the floor, you know, at the top of the free throw line or just underneath the 3-point line, kind of working as a playmaking hub, defenses do need to take a step or two out and kind of cut off some passing lanes, because if you let a guy sit in the middle of the floor and make decisions in the NBA, you can be pretty deadly. When you have time and space to make those passes, and you have the tools to make them, it gets very interesting very quickly. So I was really, really impressed with that. But the thing that I came out of that game with us is he is a legitimate, not a good rim protector for a rookie. He's a good rim protector in the NBA already. The feel is there. The verticality is going to see some things, the cleanup just a little bit, I think. But he was credited with 3 blocks, and I think he got screwed out of 2 that he got fingers on. And the cool thing about Summer League, I wrote this on the Patreon last night, sitting where you sit in Summer League, like it's 2 feet off the floor, right? Like, you know, and you can feel the game. And you could feel the Philadelphia 76ers drivers steer away. Over and over and over, and they were contorting and twisting and trying to find these little nooks and crannies to get shots off around Klingon, and they just weren't there. And it was pretty damn impressive just how much the only guy who, and he's insane, is Ricky Council IV. He was the only guy who was like, I'm going to challenge him. And one time Klingon blocked him, another time Klingon kind of got a deflection on it, and you know, I think the ball went out of bounds. The third time, Council got free throws out of it. But like, he's a top 1% athlete in the NBA. And like, I don't think you're going to see many guys who look at Donovan Klingon on a nightly basis as an opponent and go, I want to challenge him.
Yeah, again, we talk about this all the time. Take Summer League with a grain of salt, but you want to see growth and that comfortability continue to take those steps forward. And I think we saw that from game one to game two with Klingon. And I think that a big part of that was the fourth quarter, where he only had 2 points, but 4 rebounds, 2 on the offensive end to keep possessions alive, 2 assists, a block shot in that fourth quarter. But that forced 5-second violation on the sideline. Yep. That was a huge play, and that's where we're talking about just presence, and it can be your physical presence, just being big and getting in the way, but also the basketball IQ. And part of the art of defending the inbound when you're big like that is to make sure that you're reading the inbounder. And I thought he did an incredible job at doing that, which are those little signs of growth where it is everything that was talked about in the pre-draft process. We're kind of seeing those little tidbits play out already in the Summer League 2 games in.
Yeah, what's really interesting about Klingon so far through 2 games is quite simply that he impacts the game without having to have the ball all the time. And yes, he was working as a facilitator and, you know, he got a few shots up. But you look at his stat line, Dusty, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. Like, he finds ways to impact the game endlessly. And whether it's that closeout block on Jared McCain in space or getting that 5 second call, like you just grabbing a very timely offensive rebound, he really gets it. And I think the Summer League is such a terrible place for bigs and it's such a hard place for them to shine. And yet Klingon is shining defensively. He's got a long way to go offensively. He's got to learn to, when he's down around the rim, to not be sped up. And I think he'll be okay there eventually. I'd like to see him be more physical on the offensive end, not necessarily a screener, but when he's got the ball in his hands. He's got a couple offensive rebounds, and he kind of tried to throw some Nurkic-esque flip shots at the rim, and I'm like, stop that. Let's get out of that habit very quickly. But it's all superfluous type stuff, because this things that he does already, they're going to translate.
Yeah.
Blocks, rebounds, screens. Like, it sounds so simple, but this Trailblazers team is in such desperate and dire need of those things that I think in the 18 to 22 minutes he's probably going to play a night, he's going to be impactful.
What do we think of Chris Murray, another tough shooting night, and Ryan Rupaire, who cleaned it up from a turnover perspective, especially in the first half where he had 6 in game 1. Roops looked a little bit more comfortable, but those two guys, I think the expectations may be a little bit higher for the year 2 guys through the first 2 games.
Yeah, Roops had an incredible first quarter, and then after that he kind of fell to the background. I wasn't thrilled about that, but that first quarter I thought was fantastic from him. He was incredibly active, incredibly engaged, knocked down his shots. I was like, okay. Chris, his shooting performance was really poor, but I thought he took some shots that he just had to take because they just didn't have some looks at times. I think of his first 6 threes, 5 of them were like, okay, I got to get this shot up because we're either late in the clock or this is the shot that I need to take even though the defender's closing out. And the first 3 that he made was the first actual, like, legitimate, clean catch-and-shoot look that was in rhythm and on time, and he knocked it down. And then he knocked down his next one. I go, okay, there it is. His shooting performance was poor, and he'll beat himself up over that. But what I love is that he kept shooting. Because in the past, he would just not shoot, and he still let it fly. And that's kind of a confidence thing, and just finding a way to get through that. He ended up with 5 assists, 6 rebounds. He was everywhere. He put his head down, got to the rim over and over again. And it's not a grand scheme thing. Justin Minaya has actually looked very good in both games. I was talking to him after the game, and you can see that his jumper is a lot cleaner. And I was asking him about that, and he said the big thing is he's been working on just tightening it up, and just getting those repetitions. And he had 2 catch and shoot looks last night. He just absolutely canned again, and then he had the cut catch and dunk from Donovan Klingon. And another little thing I think we need to watch for the rest of the Summer League is Jackie
Tway.
That transition pull up 3 had the whole media row stand up and go, whoa. Like, he walked into that and he shot that like Clay Thompson.
Yeah, he's got a quick little trigger on him, man. And he is not a guy that we're assuming will be on the 15 for the Blazers, but he is playing his way into a remix.
Two-way deal.
Yeah.
Do not be surprised to see him on a two-way deal. Do not be surprised to see him on a two-way deal.
Look, a guy who can shoot and is willing to shoot, you need it.
the Chinese media They call him the Chinese Kawhi Leonard.
Oh.
So they love him. You should have seen the media from China that was in town to talk to him. It was quite a scene. There was probably 25 media members from China that pulled him aside. I'm really interested to see how he looks tonight. He had that bullet pass to Klingon as well. He had, a 5-minute stretch where he might have been the best player on the floor. I had heard, hey, this guy can really defend, and he's got a nice little jumper. I didn't know his jumper looked that clean. I was definitely blown away when I saw him hit the corner three and then hit the pull-up in transition, because he took that thing with the utmost confidence. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of comes out of that. But all in all, it's been a pretty successful summer league so far, and I think the biggest thing for Donovan Klingon is from game one to game two, he improved. And I asked him about being gassed in game one. I go, the adrenaline get the best of you? He conceded that, yes, he was a little geeked, a little excited. He started to see, said, I wasn't nervous. He didn't want to give that he was nervous. But he was, and he was nervous in the first game. He looked much more, in control of his breath. He did not look like he was, gassed out after every time he was on the floor. So, that's a good thing to see, that he's not going to be a guy that's like, sucking wind every time he's out there for 5 minutes.
Morang, we'll see you tomorrow, and we will talk about the Blazers taking on the Washington Wizards tonight, 5:30 on NBA TV.
Indeed. We get to see him go up against Alex Saar. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can't wait for it. Well, I can't wait to welcome you back in here tomorrow as well, and we will ride again for 3 hours. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Between now and then, I've got my NCAA football dynasty started here with my Houston Cougars.
Oh, there you go. Look at you taking over Holgorsen. You know what? That is pretty fitting, because you guys got a lot of skeletons in your closets there.
Long hair and crazy.
All right, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, later, brother.
All right, Blazers take on the Wizards tonight, 5:30 NBA TV. Game three of the Vegas Summer League for the hometown team. All right, we've got more on the Brandon Ayuk trade. He wants out of San Francisco. Where should he land? 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Brandon Ayuk requested a trade about 4 hours ago from the San Francisco 49ers. He is in search of a long-term deal, not happy with what San Francisco has been willing to offer him as he enters the final year of his deal with the Niners. And we all knew this was coming based on everything that he had been alluding to over the course of the offseason, whether it was his brother in the how's your best receiver only get three touches in the Super Bowl, to the film that he was watching with Jaden Daniels of Washington Commanders practice. My goodness, the guy has been signaling at every turn that he wants out of San Francisco, and now he's officially requested that trade. Whether or not San Francisco appeases him and gives him that that trade request, that's to be seen. I think John Lynch ultimately will, because it doesn't seem like they are motivated to give him a long-term deal because of the financial ramifications of the cap, and they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy coming up.
And everybody else they're already paying.
This is what happens when you draft exceptionally well.
Yeah, right?
You run into this problem. Good problem to have.
Yeah, you have to make tough decisions.
Yeah, and when you trade for guys like Christian McCaffrey too, you know, like they went all in and said, this is where we want to have our focus, is with McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle. And there's only so many pieces of the pie that can go around, and Ayuk may be the odd man out. He's a really damn good receiver. But if he wants, you know, that $35 million, if he wants to get up in that Amon-Ra St. Brown territory, if he wants to be paid like Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, I don't think that they're going to do it, because one, they can't.
Yeah.
And two, he is the fourth option on that team. He is. And he's really damn good. But so are McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle.
Yeah.
So is Trent Williams, the best left tackle in the game. So is Nick Bosa when he's healthy. So is Fred Werner. You know, they are a stacked roster that have a lot of highly paid guys, yet John Lynch seems to navigate the cap better than anybody else, but I don't know if there's a way to navigate around this. So Washington is his preferred destination. Pittsburgh is another preferred destination from him. We had a Chargers come in on the Vancouver Ford text line, and I don't know if the diva receiver is something Jim Harbaugh wants.
Well, but I mean, at this point, though,
they need a receiver.
If you look at it like it's a 1 year audition, then who knows?
Yeah, but he wants long term security.
Yeah.
And I think that a disgruntled Brandon Ayuk is not something they want to deal with, which puts Denver into this category. And look, back to the Chargers really quick. They've got $24 million in dead cap that will be coming off due to Mike Williams and Keenan Allen for next year. So they will have the ability to pay Brandon Ayuk if they covet his skill set. I could see them going in and doing it. Go ahead. I mean, make that push. Give Justin Herbert somebody to throw the damn ball to besides Ladd McConkey, who's just going to dominate the underneath game. But again, I don't think he is that bona fide number one, but they don't have one in LA with the Chargers. I think Denver is an option, because Cortland Sutton is paid like their top receiver. He's not getting top billing wide receiver money per se, but he's not. They're going to be leaning on Marvin Mims Jr. and Troy Franklin as two guys that they hope can ease Bo Nix into the NFL. They need a receiver in a big way. You could see him in New York with the Jets as a second option to Garrett Wilson, which I believe that would be a great fit, but that window is very short for the Jets to win, and they know it. And that's why they would make the move. It's not for the long term to keep Brandon Ayuk. It could be for hey, you're going to play here on 1 year. We're going to get you touches. We're going to try to make a run for a Super Bowl because we have Rodgers. We don't know how much longer we have of Aaron Rodgers, and he's coming off a ruptured Achilles. Maybe they make that move. The Patriots have a butt ton of salary cap space. Them and the Commanders have the cap space to bring in Brandon Ayuk and pay him the way he wants to be paid and get him the touches that he wants to get. But you're not going to win.
No.
But if he's going to be happy in Washington, that's going to be the thing. Is John Lynch going to be, all right, I have a working relationship with their general manager who came over from our franchise, and we're going to play nice with him and give Brandon Ayuk a place that he wants to go where he can be successful. I don't know where the mindset is with Lynch in the 49ers, if they even want to give him up, because they could say, dude, we have you under contract for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's giddy up. Come play for us. We'll do one last run. You can be a free agent after next year because their window is open.
Yep.
I have a feeling it'll get a little bit messy before it gets more clear. And training camp is right around the corner, and they're going to want to get him in as early as they can. And we already know he's been watching Commander's film, so that's going to be pretty easy for him to play catch up if they do trade him to Washington.
Right.
I heard Colin talking about like how he doesn't believe in Kyle Shanahan and how much belief he has in Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Do we forget that Andy Reid at the beginning of his career was a guy that can't win the big one and can't get over the hump?
Exactly.
In the first seven years,
old Donovan McNabb days.
Yeah, in the first 7 years of those guys two being a head coach, both of them made four conference championship games.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid made one Super Bowl. Shanahan has made two.
Mm-hmm.
In the one Super Bowl that Andy Reid lost, he lost to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. In the two Super Bowls that Shanahan has lost, he's lost to Patrick friggin' Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the new Tom Brady as the most dominant quarterback and coach pairing in the league, right?
The new dynasty.
It took Andy Reid 20 damn years to win a Super Bowl. And it's like somehow people are writing off Kyle Shanahan now, which I think is wildly unfair to a guy who has been a wizard. Fourth quarters, they've not been able to close in Super Bowls. One of them was Jimmy Garoppolo, one pass away in the first Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. This one, it was you were down to the wire in a Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs, and one of the greatest quarterbacks to lace him up beat you.
Yeah, that just happens.
It will take time.
Yeah.
It'll take time, and if they can keep Brandon Ayuk for one more run in San Francisco and they can convince him, hey, let's smooth this over. Debo requested a trade last year. We may not give you the long-term security you're looking for, but hold him hostage for a year and see what they can do. San Francisco's going to be pretty damn good again this year.
Yep.
All right, 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. Got a grab bag coming up next because I got news from Major League Baseball. What players from Vegas think of the A's moving to Vegas? That question was asked by the LA Times today. And I also have a follow-up to one of the wilder stories in sports this summer. I can see where the Colombian fans are getting it from. But first is Russ with SportsCenter. All-Star Weekend is down in Arlington, Texas, and there's a handful of players from Las Vegas that are in the All-Star game and down at All-Star festivities. You got Paul Sewald, former Diamondbacks pitcher. You got Tommy Pham, White Sox, and Bryce Harper of the Phillies. All were asked questions regarding the A's moving to Vegas. All of those guys from Vegas were asked about the potential of the A's moving to Las Vegas for in their permanent home after they play in Sacramento for a couple of years. They still got big funding issues that they need to figure out because John J. Fisher's crying poor in that he doesn't have the money to make this happen, which everybody rolls their eyes at. And Tommy Pham had a great quote in this LA Times article that, you know, everybody that's rich cries poor when people come asking them for money. That's what I do to my family. And yeah. I know I have it, you know? And we all know that Major League Baseball franchises make money hand over fist with revenue sharing. Not a single one of those guys said that they think it's a good idea for the A's to move to Vegas. You well, had Bryce Harper drop the, hey, it'd be good for like an expansion team, but no, not the A's. Like that ain't going to happen. And they're worrying about oversaturation. Paul Sewald was probably the one that shot it down the most as he went to down the line of, yeah, there's oversaturation. There's oversaturation already, and mm-hmm. it's still a small city. And oh, by the way, they're going to want a winner.
Yeah.
If a team comes there, and there was no faith whatsoever that John J. Fisher's going to field a winning team when he gets there, because everybody points to, he said, hey, once we get a new stadium for our MLS team, San Jose Quakes, we're going to field a winner. They got a brand new stadium, and since then, they have not made the playoffs once. Like, they continue to be near the bottom in payroll since getting a new stadium there. And that's all Fisher says. We'll be able to be competitive once we get a new stadium. No, they won't.
No.
No, they won't. And all of the players were saying basically that, echoing the same thing, is that, you know, it's also hard to be an A's fan in Oakland, because anytime a player gets good, he gets dealt because they're not going to pay him to stick around.
Right.
What is going to change when they get to Vegas? Nothing.
No.
Nothing at all. So I think that, I mean, think about that. If we had a bunch of players, like if Adley Rutschman was asked at the All-Star weekend, hey, what do you think about, you know, the A's moving to Portland or an expansion team in Portland? You'd think that they'd be like, yeah, this would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody is on board with this. Not even guys who are from Vegas. They're like, yeah, I know baseball there. And Seawald said, look, it's a Dodger city. And if you can't compete winning-wise with Dodger fans, you're never going to peel them off.
Right.
And you're never going to get fans to be A's fans, because they're growing up as Dodger fans because that's the closest, most successful team to them in Vegas. And all of them are L.A. transplants anyways, you know, that are moving into Vegas in that booming population. So there's zero love for the A's moving to Vegas. And that makes my heart warm, because John J. Fisher deserves everything that's creening down on him right now because of what he's done to the city of Oakland, the fans of the A's, and his own damn franchise. So I hope they don't move to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they force John J. Fisher to sell the damn team. Major League Baseball, God, how much more do you need?
Right? I mean, yeah. Does he need to become a racist like Marge Schott?
Well, and that's the thing, is how can nobody dig anything up yet?
Right?
Like, you'd think that there's people that are trying to, you know, scrape the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, he's got to have something in his past.
But owners, we all know this in professional sports, owners don't want to open Pandora's box of forcing sale just because they're not competitive. Because once your team becomes non-competitive, your fan base is going to want you to be forced to sell, and they don't want to set that precedent. You got to do something like Jeans Friday if you're Jerry Richardson in Carolina, which they're not good either after he got ousted. You have to do something like Donald Sterling or Marge Schott, or, you know, the list goes on and on of owners that have been forced out for doing dumb stuff. Fisher hasn't done anything cruel except for hold the city of Oakland hostage for decades and the A's fan base.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to spend money.
Yeah.
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 He's terrible.
There's a lot going on there. Also, in the world of sports, my other follow-up that we have here is that Copa America mm-hmm. S show that happened.
Yeah.
Between Colombia and Argentina, where, so the gates of Hard Rock Stadium in Miami were basically bum-rushed by unticketed fans
mm-hmm.
For the Copa America final between Colombia and Argentina. And they're saying that majority of them were Colombia supporters who didn't have tickets, and they were just like cramming the gates to the point where they were just going to rush in. There's nothing that security could do. And it became a safety hazard, because there were kids, families that were getting pushed up that were ticketed.
Yeah.
And apparently in South America, this is more common, where they'll just basically bum rush a stadium and be like, I dare you to stop all of us.
Wow.
And that's what Colombia did. And CONMEBOL, it's not CONCACAF, uh-huh. It's not USA Soccer, it wasn't, you know, Hard Rock Stadium Security. That's who's the organizer of Copa America. And apparently they were in charge of all their own security, and they took everything over, and basically all of the fault is being placed on them, yeah, not the Hard Rock security. Well, we saw they eventually had to just open up the gates out of a safety concern, because people were going to get trampled. Like, yeah. There's videos of kids like being like police officers, like carrying kids over the gate because they were getting pushed up against it and they were going to get crushed. So they were like, after like an hour and a half of delaying the game, they finally just said, we got to open the gates because this is just a hazard.
Uh-huh.
And I guess in South America, the way that they do it is like several blocks away. They have checkpoints where they have to check your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do like a security checkpoint, and then they do the ticket and security at the actual gate. So they like they it's like a perimeter that they
yeah.
have two checkpoints before you actually get to the gate. So this doesn't happen.
Right.
That wasn't the case in Miami. We saw people like climbing through vents. like in sneaking into the stadium.
Wow.
You had the escalators at Hard Rock Stadium were like crushed and broken. It was a scene.
Yeah.
On Sunday in Miami. Well, you also had people that like spent like $2,000 per ticket that once they reached capacity, they closed the gates and said, sorry, you're out. There were people that were going to their seats and security was like, yeah, there's so many people out of seats. So if you paid $2,000 and actually got into the stadium, you couldn't even get to your seat. And they were like, yeah, sorry, there's nothing we can do. It took them to like the second half of the game before they started being able to get to the point where they could clear people out of their seats and you could go and sit down. Well, after the game, the head of the Colombian Football Federation, he was arrested along with his son because they were trying to get down on the field.
Uh-huh.
And the security was like, hey, because of all the security stuff, this is going to take a minute longer. And he put his hand, apparently an open palm on the chest of the head of Colombian football, who's like 71, his kid's 43.
Uh-huh.
It said, put it on his chest. And then they both just went ballistic and started like punching and threw the security guard, or I guess it was a Miami-Dade police officer,
uh-huh.
threw him on the ground, started punching him.
Wow.
On the ground and, yeah. and kicking him.
That'll
and
get
then
you hauled
the
off.
Dad comes in over the top and the female officer came up. They threw her on the ground.
Wow.
And they both got arrested.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It just Colombian soccer is an S show of epic yeah. proportions.
Well, yeah, don't score an own goal.
And you don't want to see what happens there. And the statement from Colombian soccer was like, we totally regret what happened. It was an unfortunate series of events that led to this. And the head of our federation, he got caught up in being a parent and just start throwing punches at a police officer at the wow. game. Way to go.
Yeah.
Copa America.
That's, yeah.
You give me to watch soccer. You want to give me to watch soccer?
That'll do it.
Had a little MMA to this thing.
Yeah, give me some brawls.
Goodness gracious. Colombia soccer's on the big come up after Charlotte, where you had the fight with Uruguay players
mm-hmm.
with their fans in the stands.
In the
stands.
And then this.
See? I go back to this. It just means more.
Just means
in
more.
South America. It's like the SEC, but just South America. There's a little southeast of the United States.
Yeah.
You just pump it all in there. It's SEC country for soccer. We don't care about it enough here, apparently.
Apparently not.
No. All right. Let's get ready for we have All-Star game tonight. And the Portland Trailblazers continue their summer league with the Washington Wizards tonight. Danny Dusty on the fan. Vancouver 4, text 9503-864-6326. Columbia should just lean into it like Philly and say they're just very passionate. I think they do. I think Philly maybe took a page out of Columbia's playbook. You know? Colombian soccer, they're just like, yeah, no. We're just passionate here. You know, Philly throws ice balls at Santa Claus. Colombia killed a guy for an own goal. Well, Pablo Escobar killed a guy for an own goal. All right? It's all the same there. But yeah, it was crazy. That was a wild scene down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And maybe the Miami-Dade people were just like, you know, like we got the Dolphins and the Marlins and the Heat and the Panthers. Like nobody really cares that much. Like, what is this going to be? And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What did we step into here? They just thought it was going to be like a, maybe you have some over the top Messi fans like they have for Miami, Inter Miami games. And they're just, they weren't ready. They weren't ready for the smoke that Colombian soccer fans were ready to bring for the Copa America. Yeah?
Yeah.
This is what it comes down to here. What are you more interested to see tonight? The Blazers, Wizards in Summer League, Alex Saar versus Donovan Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
The Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Or your family.
Is there a fourth option?
Well, hold on. Let me see here. Is there a WNBA game tonight? 7 o'clock, the Chicago Sky against the Las Vegas Aces.
Gotcha.
On Prime Video.
Interesting. Oh, on Prime, huh?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll probably catch a little bit of the All-Star game, and I'll tune in and catch a few minutes of Donovan Kling in there. Get some eyes on there for the first time.
I don't think I'm going to watch the All-Star game.
No? No. Not even for a little Paul Skeens?
No.
No?
Ah, maybe. Look, the pageantry of the All-Star game before, that's what I'm there for.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then once the game starts, like, this is not good. It's just like the Summer League, where it's just not good basketball.
Yeah, the one thing
not
that
good baseball either.
That I don't dig, or that I dig the least about the All-Star game, is how basically all the player intros take about 45 minutes at the top of the broadcast.
That's what I'm there for. and then I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I'm out. Yeah. And this texture on the Vancouver Four text. He's not killed by Pablo. Yeah, it's okay. He's killed by his cronies.
Yeah. Like Pablo didn't do it himself.
No, he's got
stay in here.
He had people for that.
Yeah. He doesn't get his hands dirty.
He was all hot and bothered about that.
The boss never gets the hands dirty.
He doesn't.
He's got people for that.
No, he doesn't. We'll have Danny back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in the fine city of Newburgh, Oregon. So he's not at tonight's game.
Where everything is 2 blocks from his house.
Everything. Literally everything. It's the damnedest thing. Might be the smallest city in America.
Might be.
Either that or he has the most centrally located home of all time.
Right?
2 blocks from everything.
Including what? Was it the Herbert Hoover House? Is that right? Which president was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was there. And I didn't even know that until we had a Newburgh guy on this show, on this program.
2 blocks from his house.
You know what he's doing, though? Is he mentioned it. He started his dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
He has got the Houston Cougars, and that's what he's diving into right now. There's a bit of me that says if there's one thing that takes Danny away from Blazers Summer League basketball, it may be the Houston Cougars in their run for the Big 12 title. You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Depending on his record, I've heard this from the folks that have played it. Like, if you go on the Heisman mode, it's really hard. And so we'll see. If Danny comes walking in this door peacocking that he's like, you know, something tells me he's not just playing one or two games. If he's like 9-0 when he comes in tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, all right, maybe we kick it up from varsity up to All-American. Huh?
Yeah.
You know?
Right? Yeah.
He's putting up like 80 points a game. Be like, okay.
Yeah.
It's time to move this thing up a little bit. All right. That'll do it for us today. The Morangutang back in the seat tomorrow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All-Star Weekend is down in Arlington, Texas, and there's a handful of players from Las Vegas that are in the All-Star game and down at All-Star festivities. You got Paul Sewald, former Diamondbacks pitcher. You got Tommy Pham, White Sox, and Bryce Harper of the Phillies. All were asked questions regarding the A's moving to Vegas. All of those guys from Vegas were asked about the potential of the A's moving to Las Vegas for in their permanent home after they play in Sacramento for a couple of years. They still got big funding issues that they need to figure out because John J. Fisher's crying poor in that he doesn't have the money to make this happen, which everybody rolls their eyes at. And Tommy Pham had a great quote in this LA Times article that, you know, everybody that's rich cries poor when people come asking them for money. That's what I do to my family. And I know I have it, you know? And we all know that Major League Baseball franchises make money hand over fist with revenue sharing. Not a single one of those guys said that they think it's a good idea for the A's to move to Vegas. Bryce Harper drop the, hey, it'd be good for like an expansion team, but no, not the A's. Like that ain't going to happen. And they're worrying about oversaturation. Paul Sewald was probably the one that shot it down the most as he went to down the line of, yeah, there's oversaturation. There's oversaturation already, and it's still a small city. And oh, by the way, they're going to want a winner.
Yeah.
If a team comes there, and there is no faith whatsoever that John J. Fisher is going to field a winning team when he gets there, because everybody points to, he said, hey, once we get a new stadium for our MLS team, San Jose Quakes, we're going to field a winner. They got a brand new stadium, and since then, they have not made the playoffs once. Like, they continue to be near the bottom in payroll since getting a new stadium there. And that's all Fisher says, we'll be able to be competitive once we get a new stadium. No, they won't.
No.
No, they won't. And all of the players were saying basically that, echoing the same thing, is that, you know, it's also hard to be an A's fan in Oakland because anytime a player gets good, he gets dealt because they're not going to pay him to stick around.
Right.
What is going to change when they get to Vegas? Nothing.
No.
Nothing at all. So I think that, I mean, think about that. If we had a bunch of players, like if Adley Rutschman was asked at the All-Star weekend, hey, what do you think about, the A's moving to Portland or an expansion team in Portland? You'd think that they'd be like, yeah, this would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody is on board with this. Not even guys who are from Vegas. They're like, yeah, I know baseball there. And Sewald said, look, it's a Dodger city. And if you can't compete winning-wise with Dodger fans, you're never going to peel them off.
Right.
And you're never going to get fans to be A's fans because they're growing up as Dodger fans because that's the closest, most successful team to them in Vegas. And all of them are L.A. transplants anyways, you know, that are moving into Vegas in that booming population. So there's zero love for the A's moving to Vegas. And that makes my heart warm because John J. Fisher deserves everything that's craning down on him right now because of what he's done to the city of Oakland, the fans of the A's, and his own damn franchise. So I hope they don't move to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they force John J. Fisher to sell the damn team. Major League Baseball, God, how much more do you need?
Right? I mean, yeah. Does he need to become a racist like Marge Schott?
Well, and that's the thing is, how can nobody dig anything up yet?
right?
Like, yeah, you'd think that there's people that are trying to, you know, scrape the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, he's got to have something in his past.
But owners, we all know this in professional sports, owners don't want to open Pandora's box of forcing sale just because they're not competitive. Because once your team becomes non-competitive, your fan base is going to want you to be forced to sell, and they don't want to set that precedent. You got to do something like Jeans Friday if you're Jerry Richardson in Carolina, which they're not good either after he got ousted. You have to do something like Donald Sterling or Marge Schott, or, you know, the list goes on and on of owners that have been forced out for doing dumb stuff. Fisher hasn't done anything cruel except for hold the city of Oakland hostage for decades and the A's fan base.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to spend money.
Yeah.
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 He's terrible.
There's a lot going on there. Also, in the world of sports, my other follow-up that we have here is that Copa America mm-hmm. S show that happened.
Yeah.
Between Colombia and Argentina, where, so the gates of Hard Rock Stadium in Miami were basically bum-rushed by unticketed fans
mm-hmm.
For the Copa America final between Colombia and Argentina. And they're saying that majority of them were Colombia supporters who didn't have tickets, and they were just like cramming the gates to the point where they were just going to rush in. There's nothing that security could do. And it became a safety hazard, because there were kids, families that were getting pushed up that were ticketed.
Yeah.
And apparently in South America, this is more common, where they'll just basically bum rush a stadium and be like, I dare you to stop all of us.
Wow.
And that's what Colombia did. And CONMEBOL, it's not CONCACAF, uh-huh. It's not USA Soccer, it wasn't, you know, Hard Rock Stadium Security. That's who's the organizer of Copa America. And apparently they were in charge of all their own security, and they took everything over, and basically all of the fault is being placed on them, yeah, not the Hard Rock security. Well, we saw they eventually had to just open up the gates out of a safety concern, because people were going to get trampled. Like, there's videos of kids like being like police officers, like carrying kids over the gate because they were getting pushed up against it and they were going to get crushed. So they were like, after like an hour and a half of delaying the game, they finally just said, we got to open the gates because this is just a hazard.
Uh-huh.
And I guess in South America, the way that they do it is like several blocks away, they have checkpoints where they have to check your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do like a security checkpoint, and then they do the ticket and security at the actual gate. So it's like a perimeter that they have two checkpoints before you actually get to the gate. So this doesn't happen.
Right.
That wasn't the case in Miami. We saw people like climbing through vents. Like in sneaking into the stadium.
Wow.
You had the escalators at Hard Rock Stadium were like crushed and broken. It was a scene.
Yeah.
On Sunday in Miami. Well, you also had people that like spent like $2,000 per ticket that once they reached capacity, they closed the gates and said, sorry, you're out. There were people that were going to their seats, and security was like, yeah, there's so many people out of seats. So if you paid $2,000 and actually got into the stadium, you couldn't even get to your seat. And they were like, yeah, sorry, there's nothing we can do. It took them to like the second half of the game before they started being able to get to the point where they could clear people out of their seats and you could go and sit down. Well, after the game, the head of the Colombian Football Federation, he was arrested along with his son. Because they were trying to get down on the field.
Uh-huh.
And the security was like, hey, because of all the security stuff, this is going to take a minute longer. And he put his hand, apparently an open palm, on the chest of the head of Colombian football, who's like 71, his kid's 43.
Uh-huh.
It said, put it on his chest. And then they both just went ballistic and started like punching and threw the security guard, or I guess it was a Miami-Dade police officer,
uh-huh.
threw him on the ground, started punching him.
Wow.
On the ground and, yeah. and kicking him.
That'll
and
get
then
you
the
off.
Dad comes in over the top, and the female officer came up, they threw her on the ground.
Wow.
And they both got arrested.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It just, Colombian soccer is an S show of epic proportions.
Well, yeah, don't score an own goal.
And you don't want to see what happens there. And the statement from Colombian soccer was like, we totally regret what happened. It was an unfortunate series of events that led to this. And the head of our federation, he got caught up in being a parent and, yeah, just started throwing punches at a police officer at the wow. game. Way to go.
Yeah.
Copa America. That's, yeah. You give me to watch soccer. You want to give me to watch soccer?
That'll do it.
Add a little MMA to this thing.
Yeah. Give me some brawls.
Goodness gracious. Colombia soccer is on the big come up after Charlotte, where you had the fight with Uruguay players
mm-hmm.
with their fans in the stands. And then this. See, I go back to this. It just means more. South America. It's like the SEC, but just South America. There's a little southeast of the United States.
Yeah.
You just pump it all in there. It's SEC country for soccer. We don't care about it enough here, apparently.
Apparently not.
No. All right, let's get ready for it. We have All-Star game tonight, and the Portland Trailblazers continue their summer league with the Washington Wizards tonight. Danny Dusty on the Fan. Vancouver 4, text 9503-864-6326. Columbia should just lean into it like Philly and say they're just very passionate. I think they do. I think Philly maybe took a page out of Columbia's playbook. You know? Columbia soccer, they're just like, yeah, no. We're just passionate here. You know, Philly throws ice balls at Santa Claus. Columbia killed a guy for an own goal. Well, Pablo Escobar killed a guy for an own goal. All right? It's all the same there. But yeah, it was crazy. That was a wild scene down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And maybe the Miami-Dade people are just like, you know, like we got the Dolphins and the Marlins and the Heat and the Panthers. Like nobody really cares that much. Like what is this going to be? And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What did we step into here? They just thought it was going to be like maybe you have some over-the-top Messi fans like they have for Inter-Miami games, and they're just they weren't ready for the smoke that Colombian soccer fans were ready to bring for the Copa America. You know?
Yeah.
This is what it comes down to here. What are you more interested to see tonight? The Blazers, Wizards in Summer League, Alex Saar versus Donovan Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
The Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Or your family.
Is there a fourth option?
Well, hold on. Let me see here. Is there a WNBA game tonight? 7 o'clock. The Chicago Sky against the Las Vegas Aces.
Gotcha.
On Prime Video.
Interesting. Oh, on Prime, huh?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll probably catch a little bit of the All-Star game, and I'll tune in and catch a few minutes of Donovan Klingon there. Get some eyes on there for the first time.
I don't think I'm going to watch the All-Star game.
No. No. Not even for a little Paul Skeens?
No.
No?
Maybe. Look, the pageantry of the All-Star game before, that's what I'm there for.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then once the game starts, like, this is not good. It's just like the Summer League, where it's just not good basketball.
Yeah, the one thing
not
that
good baseball either.
That I don't dig, or that I dig the least about the All-Star game, is how basically all the player intros take about 45 minutes. At the top of the broadcast.
That's what I'm there for.
Yeah.
and then I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I'm out. Yeah. And this texture on the Vancouver 4 text. He's not killed by Pablo. Yeah, it's okay. He's killed by his cronies.
Yeah. Like Pablo didn't do it himself.
No, he's got
in here. He
had people for that.
Yeah. He doesn't get his hands dirty.
He was all hot and bothered about that.
The boss never gets the hands dirty.
He doesn't.
He's got people for that.
No, he doesn't. We'll have Danny back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in the fine city of Newburgh, Oregon. So he's not at tonight's game.
Where everything is 2 blocks from his house.
Everything. Literally everything. It's the damnedest thing. Might be the smallest city in America.
It might be.
Either that or he has the most centrally located home of all time.
Right?
2 blocks from everything.
Including what? Was it the Herbert Hoover House? Is that right? Which president was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was there. And I didn't even know that until we had a Newburgh guy on this show, on this program.
2 blocks from his house.
You know what he's doing, though? Is he mentioned it. He started his dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
He has got the Houston Cougars. And that's what he's diving into right now. There's a bit of me that says if there's one thing that takes Danny away from Blazers Summer League basketball, it may be the Houston Cougars in their run for the Big 12 title. You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Depending on his record, I've heard this from the folks that have played it. Like, if you go on the Heisman mode, it's really hard. And so we'll see if Danny comes walking in this door peacocking that he's like, you know, something tells me he's not just playing one or two games. If he's like 9-0 when he comes in tomorrow,
yeah,
we're going to be like, all right, maybe we kick it up from varsity up to All-American. Huh?
Yeah.
You know?
Right? Yeah.
He's putting up like 80 points a game. Be like, okay. Yeah. It's time to move this thing up a little bit. All right, that'll do it for us today. The Morangutan back in the seat tomorrow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday from noon to three right here on The Fan. Vancouver 4, text 9503-864-6326. Columbia should just lean into it like Philly and say they're just very passionate. I think they do. I think Philly maybe took a page out of Columbia's playbook. You know? Columbia soccer, they're just like, yeah, no, we're just passionate here. You know, Philly throws ice balls at Santa Claus. Columbia killed a guy for an own goal. Well, Pablo Escobar killed a guy for an own goal, all right? It's all the same there. But yeah, it was crazy. That was a wild scene down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And maybe the Miami-Dade people were just like, you know, like we got the Dolphins and the Marlins and the Heat and the Panthers. Like, nobody really cares that much. Like, what is this going to be? And they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What did we step into here? They just thought it was going to be like a – maybe you have some over-the-top Messi fans like they have for Miami, Inter-Miami games, and they're just they weren't ready. They weren't ready for the smoke that Colombian soccer fans were ready to bring for the Copa America. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to here. What are you more interested to see tonight? The Blazers, Wizards in Summer League, Alex Saar versus Donovan Clingan.
Mm-hmm.
The Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Or your family.
Is there a fourth option?
Well, hold on. Let me see here. Is there a WNBA game tonight? 7 o'clock. The Chicago Sky against the Las Vegas Aces.
Gotcha.
On Prime Video.
Interesting. Oh, on Prime, huh?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll probably catch a little bit of the All-Star game, and I'll tune in and catch a few minutes of Donovan Clingan there. Get some eyes on there for the first time.
I don't think I'm going to watch the All-Star game.
No? Not even for a little Paul Skeens?
No.
No?
Maybe. Look, the pageantry of the All-Star game before, that's what I'm there for.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then once the game starts, like, this is not good. It's just like the Summer League where it's just not good basketball.
Yeah, the one thing
not
that
good baseball either.
That I don't dig, or that I dig the least about the All-Star game is how basically all the player intros take about 45 minutes at the top of the broadcast.
That's what I'm there for.
Yeah.
And then I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I'm out. Yeah. In this texture on the Vancouver 4 text, he's not killed by Pablo. Yeah, it's okay. He's killed by his cronies.
Yeah. Like Pablo didn't do it himself.
No,
he's
got
stay in here.
He had people for that.
Yeah. He doesn't get his hands dirty.
He was all hot and bothered about that.
The boss never gets the hands dirty.
He doesn't.
He's got people for that.
No, he doesn't. We'll have Danny back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in the fine city of Newburgh, Oregon. So he's not at tonight's game.
Where everything is 2 blocks from his house.
Everything. Literally everything. It's the damnedest thing. Might be the smallest city in America.
Might be.
Either that or he has the most centrally located home of all time.
Right?
2 blocks from everything.
Including what? Was it the Herbert Hoover House? Is that right? Which president was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was there. And I didn't even know that until we had a Newburgh guy on this show, on this program.
2 blocks from his house.
You know what he's doing, though? Is he mentioned it. He started his dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
He has got the Houston Cougars, and that's what he's diving into right now. There's a bit of me that says if there's one thing that takes Danny away from at Blazers Summer League basketball, it may be the Houston Cougars in their run for the Big 12 title. You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Depending on his record, I've heard this from the folks that have played it. Like, if you go on the Heisman mode, it's really hard. And so we'll see if Danny comes walking in this door peacocking that he's like, you know, something tells me he's not just playing one or two games. If he's like 9-0 when he comes in tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, all right, maybe we kick it up from varsity up to All-American. Huh? Yeah. You know?
Right? Yeah.
He's putting up like 80 points a game. Be like, okay. Yeah. It's time to move this thing up a little bit. All right, that'll do it for us today. The Morangutang back in the seat tomorrow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.